Icon.
To the Iconoclastically Bombastic Network and Iconoclastically Bombastic Sports Network Debate Series. This is Chris Lewis, and I will be your moderator this evening. Tonight, we have our fearless commissioner and yet another battle of wits with the relative newcomer in Drewby Robertson. The format for tonight's event is as follows. We'll have 2 minutes for the initial contestant to respond to the debate question, 1 minute for rebuttal from the other contestant, and then 1 minute for a re-rebuttal from the initial contestant's answer. We will have 7 questions, and we will alternate who goes first, starting with Ronnie and moving to the challenger, Drewby. The debate will be judged entirely by the members of the Iconoclastically Bombastic Sports Network, with the winner being announced within 24 hours. Again, this debate will be between our commissioner, Ronnie Carlton, and our challenger, Drewby Robertson. I'm going to give each of these two gentlemen a minute to introduce themselves, starting with RC.
You might have to mute him, or Drewby, can you get to a better line? I think that's yours. It's crackling a little bit. Isn't it a different spot in the house, maybe?
I got my Bluetooth headphones on. Let me turn them off quick.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, because it's just giving us a little feedback. All right, so while he's doing that,
Is this better?
Say something else.
Can you hear me better or no?
Yeah, it's a little bit
all right, cool.
better.
All right, okay.
My name is Ronnie Lee Carlton, Jr. I am the commissioner of IBS. You band of rebels. I'm commissioner of you. I am the conqueror of Wallace Cadillac Glenn. I am the brother to the false king and paper champion, Corey Carlton, and I will have my vengeance this debate or the next.
All right, that's it. Up to me.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead, Drew.
My name's Andrew Robertson, born and raised, live in Buffalo here. I jumped on the page when there's maybe 700-800 people. You know, I read a lot. I just haven't commented much, never done anything like this. So, you know, RC put open challenge. I accepted. So win or lose, I'm going to get a hang of it first time, and I'll be back. That's all I got.
All right. Sounds good. That's good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the introductions there. From now on, if I say iconoclastically bombastic, I will be sure to abbreviate it because it's a mouthful. Never realized how much
when I first started doing it, I was like, damn, I did this. This is what I did. See, you can say IBN, IBS, whatever. Yeah, I was like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Well, we'll move into the questions as soon as you guys are ready.
Ready when you are, RC.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, well, the first question is for Ronnie. The IBS public wants to know, who is the most overrated quarterback in the history of the NFL?
Ooh.
Wow, in the entire history of the NFL?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm going to go with Brett Favre. Brett Favre, not only is he the leader in interceptions, but he's the leader in touchdowns as well. And that, the touchdowns, everyone wants to talk about, but the interceptions, they don't. Brett Favre had a 2 to 3 year span where he was unbelievable. And that allowed him to be carried reputation-wise, Madden's love. He would play the game for free. My brother talks about it all the time, how annoyed he was. Brett Favre was not the person that we thought he was. He also was not the player that we thought he was. He would take way too many risks. And it used to pay off, but later in his career, it did pay off. And you even saw the microcosm of Brett Favre in a game, one of his last games, the Minnesota championship game against New Orleans, where he threw the game-losing interception. So my choice is Brett Favre.
Man, that was a good one, man. I got it. I'm fucking – it's going to be a tough one.
Okay.
For me?
Okay. Ruby?
Personally, I'm going to have to go with Troy Aikman. I might be a little biased on this matter because, you know, being born and raised a Bills fan and watching him destroy us in the Super Bowls. But the way that his offensive line was set up and blocked when they weren't getting arrested, and, you know, I don't think all those stats would be there without Emmitt in the backfield. If you look at when Smith and Irvin came on, that Aikman's stats weren't up to par with those 3 rings he had us on his fingers. So, like I said, it might be a little biased in my opinion, but I'm going to have to go with Troy Aikman. I got a quick question, quick. Do we keep running on until you stop us, or?
You get 2 minutes if you're the first person to be asked a question, which you will be next question. You get one minute for a rebuttal, and then RC gets to go ahead and rebuttal here for another minute. So that's the time
that
I'll let
you
know.
He was asking if he should continue through his time or he could just cut it off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do I keep talking? Then you tell me, like, hey, your time's up.
Oh, it's up to you, man. If you're done, you're done. If you want to keep going, you can keep going.
No, I'm good. I'm good. That was a tough one.
Okay.
All right. Do I get to rebuttal?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, Aikman is a popular choice because the Cowboys are not necessarily their most popular team, but they're also the most hated team. But I would say that Favre is the better choice because of where people have Favre. There are people that have Favre as top five. There are people that have Favre in the GOAT conversation. Nobody really has Aikman in the GOAT conversation, and people say, well, maybe he shouldn't make the Hall of Fame. But if you look at Terry Bradshaw's staff, if you look at Joe Namath's staff, especially in the past, and even now, because people make the argument for Eli, if a quarterback wins, they get the Hall of Fame. But I don't think anybody's saying Troy Aikman is a dominant quarterback, top 10 or anything.
True. And do I get a rebuttal or no?
No, you'll get a rebuttal of his response to your answer or to the question after in the next question. So it'll alternate each question. You'll get the re-rebuttal this time because you'll get to answer the next question first.
All right.
So moving on to the next question, our next question is, who is the top wide receiver in the current NFL and why?
And that's on me?
That's on you. Absolutely. Go ahead, Andrew.
Here's another tough one. Currently, that we're talking right now, best receiver in the NFL. For me, I would have to go with Calvin, but since he retired, that's not going to work for me. So I'm going to have to say, in my personal opinion, it would be Julio Jones, because playing with that kind of size and speed, and, you know, it's a weaker division, but having Roddy White on the other side and having the number one guy on him at all times with Matt Ryan, who is so up and down and very consistent, doesn't have that great of an arm, but he seems to produce even when he's hurt every single year. And, it's just with that size and strength and the way that he can bring safeties up and free up in the running game for whoever they have back there. But, yeah, for being so young into his career and dealing with that many injuries and to put up 1,000-yard seasons back at, season after season after season, I'm going to have to say Julio, just the total package of size, speed, and talent, and always playing hurt and still producing.
I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is unguardable. He's a rare combination of speed, quickness, and short area speed. He has over this, and I know this by heart because he's one of my favorite players. He has over 250 catches in the last 3 years. He's had over 100 catches in the last 3 years total. I mean, not total, but each consecutive year. He's had year after year three of 100 catches plus. I believe that he is the best receiver in football, and we saw how much that high-powered Pittsburgh offense was missing when they didn't have him in the playoff game.
Good call. Unbelievable stats. I mean, I don't know how that one went right over my head, but it's been proven in the NFL through the last three seasons that he is unguardable. You know, but to have a Hall of Famer quarterback, so now, with the arm that Roethlisberger has and the way he could step up into the pocket and sling it around, I just take Julio because the lack of talent in Matt Ryan's arm. I just, Julio gets himself open, but I can't really rebuttal that because Brown is unguardable.
Okay.
Quick question, RC. Who's your team? You're a Cowboy, right?
I'm a Cowboy fan, yeah, but I'm not a fanatic about them. But, yeah, they're my team.
All right. Yeah, I'll just add a question quick. All right, man.
Cool. Okay, cool. Yeah, you guys are doing good. You don't even need cues from me. You're just pretty smoothly running through this. But, third question. This one goes to RC first. Rank the following running backs, obviously in order from best, I guess, from best to worst, or worst to best, just signify how you do it. The following running backs: LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Marshall Faulk, and Marcus Allen.
Wow, that's you're going to have to rate him again because four is a lot to consume. So you said Adrian Peterson,
okay.
LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, Marcus Allen, and who was third?
No, Marshall Faulk, right?
Marshall Faulk, okay. So of those, gosh, that's tough.
Who is number four?
I'm going to go with – it's me. I'm going to go with four is a lot. Adrian Peterson, Marcus Allen.
Are you going
best, Marcus Allen's going to be number read him again one more time, Chris. Sorry. It's hard to get
okay,
all
okay.
four is a lot.
One more time. I'll read him again to you again also, Andrew. But
okay,
so it's Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, and Marcus Allen.
All right. So I have Marcus Allen last. I had Marshall Faulk to be first because he is just this dual amazing threat, just as good a receiver as a running back. And I would have LT with over 100 touchdowns, well over 100 touchdowns, top five in total touchdowns in NFL history. And then AP is great, but I don't. If you look at the stats and you look at what they were doing and their impacts on the game, I think with the receiving, I think LT and Marshall Faulk are superior to Adrian Peterson. So we got Faulk, LT, Peterson, then Allen.
All right.
Andrew, go ahead, sir.
Yep, I, you know, I'm still young, 29, heading on 30 here. The reason I am a student of the game and I follow the past, the reason I'm going to have to put Marcus Allen at four going worst to best is because I didn't get a chance to witness him play with my own eyes. But, I've seen the stats and how incredible he really was. But, you know, unfortunately, I have to put him there just because I never got the opportunity to see him. Number three, I'm going to have to go with, who else? We got Adrian Peterson, Marshall Faulk, and who else am I missing? Oh, let me think. Well, number three, then I'm going to have to go with, who am I missing here?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yep, Adrian Peterson, Marcus Allen, and who was the last?
It's LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson,
LT
for the San Diego. Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, and then Marcus Allen and Marshall Faulk, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Well, for me, then, I'm going to have to go. Number three would be Adrian Peterson because of how RC stated. The man is unbelievable. He's a downhill runner, but he'll also juke you out of your shoes, your cleats. Just for the simple fact that LT can catch as many touchdowns out of the backfield that he could running the ball. I'm going to put him at number two, and I'm going to put Marshall Faulk at number one just because the stats speak for themselves, playing for the greatest show on turf. If you really look back at it, Kurt Warner wasn't that great of a quarterback. He had such great surrounding cast, but the things that Marshall Faulk could do with his hands and catching the ball out of the backfield. If Adrian Peterson, you know, could score 30 touchdowns in a season, 29, then I would, and 10 of them were out of the backfield, I'd put him number one. But I'm going Allen, AP, LT, and Faulk.
Okay. RC, rebuttal.
This is a tough question. It's just, I can't even keep track of who he said, to be honest with you. Four is a lot.
Let's write them down
and take a note. But I stand by my list, I think. I stand by my list. I think the pass catchers plus the receiving, and they have more touchdowns, the LT and Marshall Faulk. So I stand by my answer.
Yeah.
Okay. This next question goes to Andrew. It's another couple players to keep in mind, but I think it's simpler, hopefully. Your team needs a quarterback for next season. Who do you take out of the following three? Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick, or Peyton Manning?
Ooh, wow, that's a good one. For me, personally,
you're smart, man. They're challenging y'all.
Yeah, they're pretty tough. I'm not going to go Peyton, obviously, because I'm starting to build a team, and I don't want to draft a, you know, are we talking about, like, coming now at, of age or – you get what I'm saying, or free agency, obviously. Well, I'm going to go with Colin Kaepernick just because of the youth factor. It's unfortunate to watch how much he lost his confidence in the last couple years. I think getting rid of Harbaugh was just such a huge mistake. but I think there's so much upside there that there's I can't take RG3 because of the ACL issues. It's just not feasible for me to build a team around him. So, and Peyton's neck, I just think Kaepernick with his legs and the way he can move, and he seems to be able to get out of bounds and protect himself better than RG3 can. So I just think with the youth and that arm strength, 70 yards on a dime, I'm going to have to take Kaepernick.
I tend to...
Hey, RC.
It's so hard to do something like this because it's situational. I think where Kaepernick is, if he's in San Francisco, I have a hard time seeing him suddenly getting his confidence back. Right now, he currently wants to trade, and mentally, you've got to wonder where he is. Chip Kelly's system would be the best system possible for him. It's made Sam Bradford look confident. It's made Nick Foles look sensational. The one season where he threw 29 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. So I wonder where his head is. You always wonder where RG3's head is, but maybe a fresh start would be better for RG3, and that's what he'd be getting. Colin Kaepernick would still be in San Francisco. So I give the slight edge to RG3, and Peyton Manning, he should just retire.
Okay, Andrew.
The thing that RT brought up again that I brought up about Kaepernick is that confidence. And you notice that every year after RG3's rookie year, you can just see his confidence slowly slipping away. And like you said, if you're plugging Kaepernick or RG3 into Chip Kelly's system and offense, I could see a possibility of both of them succeeding. But the reason I take Kaepernick is because I'm more concerned about an ACL than a quarterback's confidence. The confidence you can work on and build. Once you tear that ACL, it's just there's so many question marks in the air. That's so health-wise, I'm going to take Kaepernick over RG3.
Okay. Next question. What defense, and this is back to RC, what defense is better equipped to stop the passing game in the modern NFL? 3-4 or the 4-3?
This is not that great of a question because they don't really play, teams don't really play 4-3 and 3-4 the way that people traditionally think they do, because everything now is a hybrid. Even when they're hot, like Bill Belichick, they have 2 gap principles on one side and 1 gap principles on the other side. So this traditional argument in the modern game, defenses have had to adjust, and no one plays a static 3-4 or 4-3. So my answer really is the hybrid is the true answer, because no one basically is playing totally any of those things. The offense is so complicated, defenses have had to follow suit.
He pretty much just took the words right out of my mouth, being born and raised a Bills fan, and, you know, watching Rex try to bring in his 4-3 and trying to work with a 3-4 when Patton was here before he went away to Cleveland. I just think it all depends situationally that how good your backfield is. You know, if you have a great safety who can play over the top and also come up into the box, you know, then it's so high. You never really see a typical 3-4 or 4-3 nowadays. It's, you know, a hybrid, what they want to call it, or like a 3-3-5 nickel, you know. Like you said, I don't think that's the best question, because you really never see pure 4-3s or 3-4s anymore in this passing league. You know, I don't have much more of an answer for that. I totally agree with everything RC just said. I don't know if that's...
Okay, RC, do you have a follow-up?
I'd say philosophically, to answer their question, the 3-4 teams do tend to be... a lot of the 4-3 teams are more hybrid than 3-4, even though they are hybrid too. But when you look at Rex Ryan's offense and Rob Ryan's defense, you see them blitzing a lot, and that's kind of a staple of 3-4, where you got guys that can blitz from all kinds of angles and all kinds of things. So I still prefer the 4-3 because the 3-4 can get kind of paralysis by analysis, where you're trying to be so complicated like Rex, when sometimes you just need to keep it simple. So I still prefer the 4-3 answering the first question, the actual question. I would prefer the 4-3 and 3-4, but I would say the NFL is moving more towards the mushy middle than one or the other.
Okay, great. And this is our sixth question, and we'll be moving back to Andrew here. Okay, so this question is in a couple parts as well. Pick a position. What is the best way to evaluate modern players within that position with the current rule changes in the modern NFL, and what makes someone from this new generation a surefire Hall of Famer at that position?
Can you read that one again? Because that seemed unclear.
Okay.
Unless you don't want him to read it again, Drewby. But it didn't seem clear
position,
to me.
Pick a position. What is the best way to evaluate that player as a Hall of Famer under that position with the new rules in the modern NFL?
Man, I really don't even know how to answer that. That's a weird question. A surefire Hall of Famer at that position, how I would evaluate them?
Let's just go with quarterback. How would you evaluate a modern player with the rule changes at quarterback? Because obviously stats are inflated. Let's just say quarterback to make it simpler.
I'm going to evaluate a defensive tackle just because of the impact they can make on the field and on the offense opposite of them without putting up ridiculous bad tackle numbers. Because when you have a guy, you know, you look at Marcell Dareus, we just gave him all that money. He's 6'3", you know, 325. But the impact he has on that defensive front and what frees up the safeties doesn't show up on his stat sheet. He's such a menace that I think that to be a surefire Hall of Famer at the defensive tackle position, it's not going to give you ridiculous stats, but when, you know, you have a guy who weighs 320 and can run, you know, like a 4.9, 4.10, 4.6, 40, which is, you know, just absurd that these guys are just getting bigger and faster. I'm definitely going to go for size and speed and strength and lateral movement. That was a really tough question. I didn't.
Yeah,
it was kind of hard to wrap my head around it, you know. But that's what I got.
Okay, well, you got a rebuttal.
I do. Quarterback position, I'm looking at, and I'm going to say that the most. I have three, but I'm going to say the most important one in order: third down and long, so third down and 7 or more, red zone efficiency, and interception rate. First, third down and long. Third down and long is a true test of a quarterback. You can scheme all these things that you want and get easy short passes on first and second down. But when it's third and long, everybody knows you're passing. The defense is probably blitzing. The defensive linemen have their ears pinned back, and they are coming after you. Red zone is crucial. You've got to score touchdowns over field goals in the red zone if you want to win football games and get to the next level. That separates Tom Brady from Alex Smith. And interception rate is better than just looking at straight interceptions, because the interception rate is based on how many times you throw it, and it can be deceiving if a quarterback that throws the ball more and throws deeper than someone like Alex Smith, who doesn't throw as often and does short passes.
See myself. That was
hey,
good.
Andrew? Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, rebuttal.
I might have to give RC the point on that one, because that was great. Another position I would say, almost the same as defensive tackle, is, like you said, a running back. How do you determine a surefire Hall of Fame running back now? Is it a guy who pads, say, an Alex Smith stats because of the way Jamaal Charles can block and catch out of the backfield? For me, I would go blocking ability and speed out of the running back position, which, you know, for me, defensive tackle and running back, that's what I have. I didn't do very good on that question. That was a little confusing to me.
That's all right. Okay, well, we are at our final question, gentlemen. this one has to do with just two players. Pretty straightforward. Who is the better player at their position, Marvin Harrison or Terrell Owens?
Huh.
All right, I'm going to go.
This one goes to RC first.
This question, I have a very passionate answer for this, and a lot of this is because people don't understand how to evaluate the receiver position and T.O.'s personality. But it's T.O. If you look at explosive plays, T.O. had more explosive plays. Harrison, granted, great player, got open, seemed to always be open, a lot of catches. I'm not even going to use the excuse that he had Peyton Manning, but I'm going to say it so it's in your head. But he's always open. But you have to look at Terrell Owens. No matter who he plays for, what system he was in, he was unguardable. A rare combination of speed, power, and athleticism that we've actually never seen before a receiver. Randy Moss was elegant, and he could jump over your head, and he was super fast. Jerry Rice ran precise routes, but T.O. had everything. And if you give him the ball after the catch, it was like a running back, and it was tough to tackle him. He was always open. His only weakness was his hands, but just to tell you how good Terrell Owens was, he had bad hands, and he's without a doubt the top three receiver in the history of the league. He was open so much he could drop the ball and still make plays later on in the game. That's a bad dude.
What's that?
Go ahead.
All right.
You're on, sir.
Since you put Peyton Manning in my head, I'm going to have to say that I think Marvin, yeah, he was great, amazing hands, great route runner, but he was also a product of that environment. If you could tell me the number one receiver that is a surefire Hall of Famer that is going next to T.O., Marvin had that in Reggie Wayne, so he didn't get the double coverage like T.O. did. He was always the best player on the field when they played. And I've met the man in person, and we've never seen that kind of size and speed and just raw physical talent before at that position. I don't believe so since Megatron. And I remember watching T.O. when he was a Bill, and could you tell me who was the best quarterback, a surefire Hall of Famer that was throwing to T.O.? Remember when T.O. was putting up those stats with Jeff Garcia? Granted, he had a great arm, but we've never seen anything like T.O. that I can't believe he didn't get in on that first ballot. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like him again. Like RC said, he's a bad dude. It's Calvin maybe size-wise, but like you said, you know, it's T.O. without a question, hands down, Marvin couldn't compete.
I just want to take my little time to say that Andrew did a great job tonight. And also, people on the page are saying he's agreeing with me. Well, guess why he's agreeing with me? Because I'm right, dummies. That's why he's agreeing with me. Maybe y'all should learn a lesson instead of being in your pride and just say, RC's right. I agree.
Well, maybe people, you know, should quit talking and step up to the plate. I've never done
anything like this. Tell them. You stepped up to the plate.
I've never done anything like this before. I wanted to get in here and see how it goes. So, you know, I got one under my belt, and I'll come back stronger and better the next time.
And I also want to say to ask on the page, who debated me better? Yeah, Chris, you're going to have to deal with me. Who debated me better? Drewby definitely debated me better than Wallace Glenn. You're a coward.
The PAB?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Hey, RC, man, I appreciate the offer to come debate you, man. It was fun, like I said.
I appreciate you doing it, too. Man, we're shaking hands now, Chris, like after a fight, man.
First time I ever done anything like this, but now I know how it goes, and I'll be back. That's all right,
gentlemen. Well, we definitely appreciate it. Thank you for joining us, Andrew and RC.
All right, man. Thanks for moderating.
All right. RC, Bumaye! RC,
Bumaye! Hey, guys, have a great night.
Hey, y'all have a good one as well. Take care.
All right, later, guys.
This has been your Iconoclastically Bombastic Sports Debate Series. Until next time, y'all have a great night.